Good morning, everybody. I'm going to try a little bit of a different format this morning. We'll see how it goes. I want to mention to you also, men of the congregation, those of you that from time to time lead us in scripture reading and in prayers and other things during our worship. We do have microphones on the floor. If it's a difficult thing for you to navigate the stairs, we make those available for you for easy access, and so take advantage of those if you'd like to. And so we're trying to be very accommodative to all of the men of the church that lead us in worship. We're so thankful for you and your presence here this morning, for all of our guests that are here to worship God with us this morning. And I want us to begin to start our lesson this morning just inviting God's blessing upon our study and meditation upon His Word, and asking Him to give us clarity and focus as we meditate deeply upon it this morning. So would you bow with me as we pray? Almighty Father, we enter Your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts today. We enter Your courts with praise. We gather together as the assembly of the sons and daughters of the King. And we give thanks to You, and we praise Your name. For Father, You are the Lord, and You are good, and Your love endures forever, and Your faithfulness continues with us through all generations. And may the church say, in the name of Jesus, amen. So this morning, in our time in the Word, meditate upon Scripture this morning, I've got something that I want to share with you, and I'm not sure who this message is for. And so I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to use this message to touch the people that He wants to hear it this morning. It may be one, two, three, it may be many of us that He has that He wants to impress this truth on. So I just pray that you will open your mind and open your heart to receive whatever it is that God wants you to receive from His truth and from His Word this morning. What I want to begin with as we start this morning is, I want you to think about something that you don't like to think about. None of us like to think about it. And that is cleaning out your garage. I don't know about you, but the garage at my house is a catch-all. In other words, a catch-all is a place where you put stuff that you don't know where to put it. You let stuff pile up because you don't want to deal with it. It's like, here's some stuff that I'm not really think I'm ready to throw it out, but I know I don't want it in the house. And I don't really know what to do with this stuff. And I really don't want to have to think about it. So the stuff just piles up and piles up and piles up. And the clutter accumulates. Have you ever noticed that the stuff that piles up in your garage is stuff that you really can't decide whether or not you want to keep it or whether you want to throw it out? And if you ever finally get up the courage to clean it up, things feel so much better, don't they? When you've actually dealt with all this stuff that's been piling up and piling up, things that you should have dealt with long ago, you think, man, why was I keeping that stuff? When you finally get the courage to go through it and to deal with it, you realize that keeping all that stuff that you weren't willing to deal with was stealing from you. It was stealing your joy and vibrancy for life. It was stealing your contentment. It was stealing your peace. And finally, when you got the courage to organize and to deal with some of that stuff and throw some of that stuff out that you've been hanging on to for far too long, suddenly life just seems to make more sense. And you can finally, for once, walk into the garage and breathe deeply because you've dealt with stuff that you should have dealt with long ago. And you put it off. And you put it off. I wonder, for you this morning, What's been piling up in the garage of your heart? Has there been some resentment? Has there been some bitterness? Has there been some lack of forgiveness that has been stacked up and stacked up for years and years and years? And you know what it's doing to you. It may be to the point now where it's even hard to walk around in the garage of your heart. And you know it's time, once and for all, to clean it up. Now, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of focus. It takes some real deliberateness. It might take an entire Saturday to walk into this room, maybe a couple of Saturdays. It may take a couple of days. It may take a couple of months to really get serious about cleaning up some stuff in your life that you need to clean up. And I don't want to make light of it, because you might have a friend who betrayed you. You might have had a spouse that cheated on you. You might have had a family member who abused you, or a coworker that stabbed you in the back. And because of those feelings you've been harboring and hoarding inside of your heart, holding those feelings back, you know that you're not living life to its full because of the clutter that is deep inside of you. And you might say, well, what do I do about that? Some people would say, well, you just need to get over it. That's a lot easier said than done if you've been hurt deeply. You don't just get over that kind of stuff. But what's your other option? To not get over it? To just continue to live your life with all that clutter and all of that baggage? What other option do you have? This morning I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an idea that is so central to the Christian faith. All of us need it. We're all here today because we know we need God's forgiveness. Jesus said, though, freely you have received, freely give. As we have been forgiven by God, we are challenged in the discipleship walk of the Christian life to also distribute forgiveness to others the way God has so powerfully demonstrated it to us. But forgiveness is not something that doesn't come without a cost. You don't just wave your hand and forget it. You can't just let it go. There is a tremendous cost to forgiveness. It cost God His own Son. And for you to forgive when someone has hurt you, there's going to be a tremendous cost involved for you too. Forgiveness is an inside job. What I mean by that is, a lot of times when we think in terms of forgiveness, we have the tendency to think that forgiveness is something that is as much on the person that hurt us as it is on us. But today, I want to challenge all of us to think of forgiveness primarily in terms of the hard work that we have to do in the garage of our own lives. What work do I need to do? What inside job do I need to take care of inside of me to forgive? The passage we're going to focus in on this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4. Let's begin at verses 26 and 27. We're going to look at a few verses in the chapter and really try to hone in on this theme of forgiveness. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says this, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." Part of what it means to be human is to have feelings. We are emotional beings. And we feel certain ways about things, and our feelings get wounded as we bump into each other in the relationships of this life. And sometimes we don't really have a large degree of control as to what other people do. Sometimes, quite often, we don't have any control over what other people do. I only have control over what I do. And I don't always have control so much about how I feel about things that happen around me. The initial feeling itself, the emotion itself. I will feel certain ways about things. But as I feel those emotions, the inside job that I have to do is dealing with those emotions in an appropriate way rather than in an inappropriate way. And that's what the first part of this verse says. It admits that there are going to be times whenever we feel anger. Whenever I'm wounded by you, usually the emotion I'm going to feel is a level of anger. I don't know who here this morning, when you think of this, when you really deal honestly with your feelings, I don't know who here has come in this morning with deep wounds. Somebody may have hurt you really bad. Somebody might have done something against you that really, you look back on it, it really wasn't a big thing, but you're still carrying deep emotions about it. Maybe it was a really big thing that you should have felt a certain way about. So the passage is admitting we're going to get angry about these different things. The old King James says, in a really good translation here, "Be angry and sin not." It admits that there's going to be times when we have these emotions, we have this anger, but the key is to not let the anger cause you to sin. We have to steer the direction of our emotions, and how we deal with these emotions are extremely important. Now, this verse shows there's at least two different ways that we can deal with our emotions in an improper way that actually do tremendous damage, not to the people around us that hurt us, but actually damage us. You see, first, forgiveness requires admitting your hurt. You've got to admit, own up to the fact that you're feeling a certain way. The verse says, "Be angry and sin not." I've got to admit and acknowledge whenever I've been wounded and whenever I've been hurt. All too often, the way we want to deal with these wounds is to put them in the garage. You know, it's just like the garage illustration, right? I got something here in my house. I don't know what to do with it, and I really don't want to have to think about it. So what do? I stack it in the garage where I don't have to think about it. What we tend to do with emotions, some of us, is we stuff them. And we stuff them, and we stuff them. And we hoard them. And we hold them back, and we don't acknowledge them. The first step in forgiveness is acknowledging your hurt and saying, "I can't afford to let the clutter in my heart continue to destroy my future as a person, to steal my contentment, to steal my joy, to steal my peace. I can't do this anymore. It's time for me to open the garage door, walk in there, and see all this stuff and not be overwhelmed by it, but to attack it head on and to deal with it in an appropriate way. We all like the idea, the sentimental idea of forgiveness. We put it on bumper stickers. We get it, you know, put on our day planners. We love the idea of forgiveness when we know somebody else is going to forgive us. But whenever you really stop to think about what forgiveness requires of you and me, forgiveness is hard work. Cleaning out that garage is not going to happen by itself. You got to make up your mind to walk in there and say, I'm going to deal with it. Now, maybe that requires some heavy prayer and some heavy meditation. Maybe it requires talking to some trusted Christian friends. It might even require getting the courage to go and get some counseling. But you got to start with admitting it and admitting your hurt. That's where forgiveness begins. But you see, the way we tend to deal with it is not admitting it. We want to either ignore it or repress it. And I got a little something here I want you to remember this morning. When it comes to the hurts of life, don't ignore, don't repress, because both give the devil access. That's what this verse says. Right? Be angry and sin not. So don't repress it. Don't not deal with it. You got to acknowledge and admit, I'm angry. I've been hurt. But then don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't repress it. Don't push it to the side and say, I'm not going to deal with this today. Don't let the sun go down on it. Don't repress it. Because when you ignore it and when you repress it, that clutter begins to consume you without you even realizing it. And it will change you into somebody you don't want to become. Because what you've done when you've not acknowledged your hurt, when you've ignored it or you've repressed it, you are opening the door for the devil to have a foothold in your life. You're granting access for the spiritual evil one to dominate your life. And so these are not the ways to deal with it. As we keep reading, we'll skip down to verses 30 and 31. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now notice the second part here, verse 31 says, in acknowledging the clutter and the hurts of life, I've got to make the decision to deal with it and get rid of these things. You know, that's kind of hard to sort through that stuff, right? You got to make bins. You got to make piles. This is the keep pile. This is the giveaway pile. This is what's going to Habitat. This is what's going to Goodwill. This is what's going to Carm. And this is what we're going to sell. You got to sort through it. And you got to decide, here are some things that are consuming my life that I have to get rid of once and for all. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, and every form of malice. But again, sometimes a job is so big that you can't do it by yourself. You might open that garage door and you say, oh my goodness, I know I got to deal with this, but this stuff's been piling up for years. I can't remember the last time a vehicle was actually in this garage. And you look at all this stuff and you say, there's no way I can do this by myself. And so what do? You call over a trusted friend. You call over somebody with some clarity, somebody that can see into the situation and give you some help to say, hey, you're never going to use that, man. Why are you holding on to that? You know, sometimes we can't see outside of ourselves and we need a clear picture, a clear vision from someone else. And we invite them in to say, hey man, can you come over and help me sort through this stuff? I've got to deal with all of this clutter. And sometimes that can be a trusted friend, but I'll tell you, the person that has the best clarity of all to help you sort through stuff you've not been dealing with in your life is one that has been living inside of you all along as a believer, and that is the Holy Spirit. When you got access to a good friend, why not ask for the help? I mean, imagine that you call your friend one day, maybe on a Tuesday, and say, hey, man, what'd you do this weekend? And you say, well, I needed to clean out my garage, but I opened that garage, and I got like 2 feet into all that stuff. And I just got overwhelmed, and I just realized I couldn't do it, and I shut the garage door. And you know what your good friend will say to you? He'll say, hey, man, why didn't you call me? I could have come over there and helped you. In fact, I'm a little bit hurt that you didn't call me. Because I know you need to deal with that. And I could have helped you. Imagine what the Holy Spirit feels when the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And right here inside of you. And you've not been dealing with all that stuff. And you've got unforgiveness. And you've got bitterness. And you've got all this anger inside of you. Right there where the Holy Spirit's living. And you're trying to clean out your life. And the Holy Spirit's standing there right beside all that stuff. At the cusp of the door of your heart. Saying, hey man, I'm right here. I'm kind of grieved. You've been sealed with me. I'm right here with you. I have been partnered with you as the comforter, as the helper. And you're not asking me to help. You see, really, whenever it comes to forgiveness, the real truth of the matter is it requires the Holy Spirit. If you've just been slighted, if it's been a small little hurt, sure, you might be able to in some way deal with it and move on. But if you've been really deeply wounded, if you've got some real stacks of emotional history inside of your heart, it's going to take some help to be able to let it go. And move on. And in the truth be known, that kind of level of forgiveness cannot be done by human strength and willpower by itself. It's going to take something supernatural working inside of us to actually move from being hurt to being healed. It's going to take the great physician. It's going to take the paraclete, the defense attorney, the comforter coming alongside of you. It's going to take the grace and help of the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with the level of hurt we're talking about. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, this verse says, look, you got to get rid of all the anger and the bitterness, but the way you do it is don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Welcome the help of the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed with Him for the day of redemption. He's right there inside of you. Utilize His help. Ask for His help. And what it's going to take is it's going to take releasing the devil's hurt and grabbing on to the Spirit's healing. You see, what are you clinging on to? What is it inside of the garage of your heart that you know is taking up too much space, that is cluttering up your life, but for whatever reason, you just can't let go of it? You've got to release that devil's hurt and grab onto something else. And that's grabbing on to the Spirit's healing. Verse 32. This is where it really comes down to it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Some of us, here's how we deal with hurts. We say to ourselves, I'm willing to forgive that person, but they've got to show some kind of repentance, some kind of sorrow. They've got to do something to make amends and show me that they deserve my forgiveness before I'll forgive. Listen to this. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I'm going to ask you a real direct question. When Jesus forgave you, did you deserve it? None of us did. We are to forgive just as Christ forgave us. We owed a tremendous debt against God, and Jesus fully paid for it all. Now, I think it's important here just briefly for me to say that we must not confuse forgiveness with reconciliation. Forgiveness does not always mean we're automatically reconciled to a person in a relationship. You see, reconciliation requires both parties being willing. And thankfully, in Jesus Christ, God not only paid the payment, but He was willing to be reconciled. And so if I'm willing to be reconciled to Him and to come to Him, not only do I experience forgiveness, I experience reconciliation of relationship too. But sometimes in human relationships, reconciliation is not possible because both people aren't seeking it. But I can forgive a person even if they're not seeking reconciliation. Because forgiveness from my heart is on me. I can't control what other people do. I can only control what I do. And for me to be a healthy person and for me to move on, sometimes I have to be willing to forgive from my heart, even if the other person isn't seeking any kind of restitution or any kind of reconciliation of relationship. Now, I know what you think, what you're thinking when you hear that, because I would think it too, and that is, well, wait just a minute. That means they get off the hook. I want to tell you this morning, forgiveness requires changing the hooks. Here's what I mean. Forgiveness is really dismantling my right to collect on the debt. I say, you know what? I'm gonna forego my right to collect on that debt. They owe me big time, but I'm foregoing my right to collect. But just because I forego my right to collect on the debt does not dismiss their moral responsibility to make things right. But again, I'm not responsible for what they do. I'm responsible for what I do. So think of it this way. Instead of thinking of forgiveness that has not been sought by the offender, but I'm forgiving because I need to clean out my garage and I need to be able to move forward in my life, whenever I need to forgive this way, don't think of it as I'm letting them off the hook. Instead, think of it in terms of changing the hook. What I mean is, you're moving the person from your hook to God's hook. I found this illustration this week to be extremely helpful from another author. He shares his personal experience, Dan Gallagher. He says this. He says, once I was struggling with the idea of forgiving a person. So I took a mental image of the person who wounded me, and I saw this person hanging by the back of their shirt on a hook. As the person struggled and twisted on the hook, I saw a hand pick him up and move him to another hook. And I knew immediately that while I may be taking him off of my hook, he was being placed on God's hook. And I instantly sensed a great relief, and I was able to forgive him. He will have to give an account to God, the person who has wounded me, for what he has done. And they're responsible for that. That person is responsible for that. But I'm responsible for me. And my job is not to keep everybody on the hook. That's God's job. So I have to give the burden to God and free up my hook by putting them on God's hook. You know, there is a direct link between giving grace and receiving grace. Jesus would put it this way. He would say, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. For with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke 6, 37 and 38. This passage, as well as what Jesus would say in the model prayer, Father, forgive them. He would model for us not only that at His death, but in the prayer He would say, forgive their trespasses even as we have forgiven. So there's a direct link between me experiencing God's forgiveness and the way that I have been willing to to share forgiveness with others. And you say, well, wait a minute, is God like holding it over me? He's like looking at me and saying, wait a minute, Jonathan, you're not forgiving in your heart, therefore I won't forgive you. I don't really think that's really what's at play here. I think the idea is, I'm never going to be forgiven by God unless I learn to forgive others. Why? Because giving grace to other people is what makes room in my heart for me to be able to accept God's grace. Here's what I mean. Think about this now. People who have not been able, maybe you're among them, a person who has not been able and cannot bring themselves to forgive another person almost always is the same individual that equally has a hard time believing that God has really forgiven them. Now, you get me? Usually it is those of us that have not been willing to forgive somebody else that cannot really, deep within our hearts, accept the fact that God has forgiven us. Because if I couldn't forgive them, then how could God forgive me for what I've done? So I'm telling you this morning, the only way you're ever going to really be changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, the only way that you're ever going to be able to accept the good news of the gospel that's going to free you from all this, is you've got to get to the point where you actually receive the forgiveness of God and you realize, yes, He's forgiven me. And the degree to which He's forgiven me, how in the world could I hold something against my brother or my sister whenever God has forgiven me the way that He has forgiven? There's a direct link between giving grace to others and receiving it yourself. To refuse mercy and forgiveness to others is to refuse God's mercy and forgiveness for yourself. I want to close with the words of Kyle Eidelman, who, speaking on the issue of forgiveness, makes this observation. Release resentment. Get rid of anger and bitterness in your heart, and extend grace and forgiveness to someone in your life who doesn't deserve it and could never make it right. Because God has extended this kind of grace to you, and you are commanded to give this kind of grace to others too. This morning, I don't know how this message has touched you. I don't know who this message was for, but I pray this morning that if anything that I have shared this morning is resonating in any way deep in your heart, that whatever little bit from this sermon is inside of you and is working on you, that is the work of God's Holy Spirit. Do not quench His conviction. Whatever you need to do with what you've heard from God's Word this morning, don't leave here and go put it in the garage and say, I'll deal with that later. Today is the day to clean it up. Today is the day to move on. If we can help you by praying for you, if we can help you to come to Jesus and give your life to Him in the new birth, if you need prayers from the shepherds of this flock, for any of the members here, they're going to be available in the library, or you just need the encouragement of the church family here, if we can help you, come to Jesus as we stand and sing.